Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. The most entertaining hour of your day is right here on WKAR's Current Sports via WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, November 21st, 2017. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday yet again. We have just one more live edition of Current Sports Radio before we bid you all adieu for the Thanksgiving holiday. I know many of you all, like myself, are looking forward to Thanksgiving, my second favorite holiday of the 365-day calendar. I can taste my mom's mac and cheese right now. Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait for it. But until then, we plan on bringing you some really entertaining sports talk. On today's Current Sports, we will bring to you a few takeaways from Mark D'Antonio's press conference at the north end zone of Spartan Stadium as Mark D'Antonio and the team now prepare for the final regular season matchup of the year that will take place on the road at Rutgers come this Saturday. So we'll talk MSU football. Also, the latest batch of college football playoff rankings will be revealed tonight on ESPN, and I don't foresee many things changing, seeing as though a lot of those top-tier teams played just absolute softies. We'll also bring you an update on the Michigan State men's basketball team, which is preparing for the Phil Knight 80 basketball championship tournament come this week, starting on Thanksgiving. And a lot of chatter surrounded around Tom Izzo's program, not because this is a program that's top five in the nation. They did take a small dip in the latest batch of Associated Press poll rankings. However, even more so than that, many of you are concerned about the ankle of star sophomore player Miles Bridges. Well, head coach Tom Izzo provided an update on Bridges. You'll get an update on the status of Miles in just a moment. We will also talk with Alan Gant, a dear friend of the show, former University of Michigan linebacker and now broadcaster. Alan will join me on the show to talk about the big rivalry matchup between the University of Michigan and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Don't miss that chat. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk Detroit Pistons as they fell to the King, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers last night at Little Caesars Arena. It was not even close. I'm ashamed to admit this, being a diehard Detroit Pistons fan that I am, but I absolutely fell asleep on my couch watching that game. The third quarter was on, and I felt like my grandpa after a long day of work. I just sat in that couch and just snoozed off. So not a real entertaining game. The Cavs making it look easy peasy. We'll talk about the Detroit Pistons, and we'll have that and so much more, folks. If you want to be a part of the show, multiple ways in which you can do so, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media. Check out the live stream at facebook.com/currentsports. Many of you are already commenting right below the live stream. I'll do my best to get to a few of your comments on today's Current Sports and even tweet us. My Twitter handle is at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick hit headliners. You know what, Engineer Isaac Constance, you're a big NBA fan, I know, right?
You know, I'd say so.
I was going to start with our regular headliners until I saw this story. This is a pretty hilarious and odd story. I don't know if you've seen this. You know Ray Allen, right?
Yeah, I do.
You know where I'm going with this? See what happened to Ray Allen?
No, I don't.
This just broke at around 12:20 p.m. via ESPN. Retired NBA star Ray Allen said that he is a victim of catfishing and has asked a court to throw out a case where he is accused of stalking someone he met online. Allen filed an emergency motion in Orange County, Florida, on Tuesday, today, one day after Bryant Coleman, a brother, told the court he is being stalked by the 10-time All-Star and 2-time NBA champion. Allen said Coleman is the one who is stalking. Quote, Coleman pretended to be a number of attractive women interested in Ray Allen. That's what read the motion filed on Allen's behalf. It went on to say, Isaac, quote, Ray believed he was speaking with these women and communicated with them. Now, you know what catfishing is. Catfishing refers to a person who creates, you know, a fake profile on social media in order to trick someone. The term really became common back in, 2010 when the show Catfish came out. So Ray Allen is saying that he's been catfished by a man by the name of Bryant Coleman, and that Bryant Coleman has been stalking him. Wow.
Whoa.
What a story.
Gosh, I used to have Ray Allen's jersey growing up, too. I'm not sure how I feel about that now. I mean, especially, I thought he was married. Maybe he's divorced now.
No, he's married.
But he's married, so this is some water that you shouldn't have waded into in the first place. And I don't know what to think about this. It reminds me of the Manti Te'o story from about 5 years back, if you remember that one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. With the honey badger? Oh, of course, man.
Manti Te'o. Manti Te'o was the fake girlfriend who passed away.
You're right. I don't know why I always get those two mixed up. Yeah, that's when that story really became famous, right? When that story broke. But yeah, Ray Allen, and he is married. He's been with his wife, Shannon Walker Williams. They were married back in 2008. So what an odd story. I wanted to push that along. That's a pretty, just odd story. Hard to digest. All right, Miles Bridges, Michigan State head basketball coach. Tom Izzo was encouraged by the progress that Miles Bridges has made since injuring his ankle on Sunday night as the Spartans played Stony Brook. Now, Bridges led the second half of the Stony Brook game. During the Stony Brook game in the second half after rolling his ankle in the 93-71 win. Izzo said that Bridges will be day-to-day. During practice yesterday, Izzo gave us an update and said that the swelling has gone down and that Bridges is encouraged, but Izzo said the Spartans would hold back Bridges if he is not healthy. Number 4, Michigan State, will next play DePaul in the Phil Knight, the PK80 Invitational out in Portland, Oregon, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Thanksgiving night. That game can be seen on ESPN. So right now, the status of Miles is a bit uncertain. For the third consecutive week, Duke is atop the Associated Press Top 25 poll, which was released on Monday. Coach K's team, Mike Krzyzewski's team of Duke, entered the season with high expectations, and thus far his squad has performed up to those expectations with arguably the biggest win of the season early to date, an 88-81 win over number two, Michigan State, coming last week in the Champions Classic out in Chicago. Again, as I mentioned, Michigan State has dropped to number 4 as a result of that loss, bumping both Arizona and Kansas up one spot to number 2 and number 3, respectively. The top 3 ranked teams are a combined 10-0 in the early part of the college hoops season. Michigan State will hit the road. The MSU women's basketball team will hit the road for the first time this season. The Spartans remain in the Great Lakes State, taking on Detroit Mercy tonight at 7 p.m. MSU has begun the season 3-0 with home wins against Robert Morris, Oakland, and College of Charleston on Sunday afternoon. The Spartans are first in the Big Ten in scoring offense, averaging, get this, 100.7 points per game through the first three games. Michigan State is also first in the league in scoring average, plus 46, with Minnesota standing second, plus 27.8. The Spartans are also first in rebounding margin as well, plus 28.7. How about that? So again, you can catch Susie Merchant's team as they will take on Detroit Mercy tonight at 7 p.m. Playing in the Maui Jim Maui Invitational for the fifth time out in Hawaii, University of Michigan men's basketball team had a career-best 28 points from junior Charles Matthews and a season-high 24 from junior Moritz Wagner. But it was not enough as the Wolverines fell to Isaac's LSU Tigers, 77-75 in the opening day's final game. That game didn't end till well after 1 a.m., and only because I'm a night owl, Isaac, I was up watching the second half of that game. Duncan Robinson did have a chance to possibly tie the thing up. A left wing three that just grazed the side of the rim, and LSU wins. But you know anything about LSU's men's basketball team this year?
Well, they're getting recruits back. They've actually got a new coach, Will Wade, is his name.
Yeah. They talked about him a lot last night.
Yeah, replacing a long tenure of big-name recruits, but no real coaching with Johnny Jones at LSU. So big news for that program, and it bodes well going forward because I thought Michigan would honestly win this game pretty easily. So showed well for LSU.
Yeah, good win for LSU. And the Wolverines, that loss sends them into the consolation side of the bracket as U of M will now host Chaminade in a consolation semifinal game at 3 p.m. on ESPN2. The Syracuse Orange, that defense did not rest on Monday, led by its big man who came up huge, Pascal Chukwu. The Orange's 7'2" junior center had the best game of his career, 12 points, 11 boards, and 8 block shots to lead Syracuse to a 74-50 win over Greg Campy's Golden Grizzlies. Tyus Battle scored 25 to lead the Cuse for the fourth straight game. Frank Howard had a career-high 18. O'Shea Brissett had 11 and 9 rebounds. Malik Dolezal had 8 boards. On this night, though, the story wasn't about who scored for Syracuse, but who didn't score for Oakland, which came into the game averaging 82 points per game this year. Syracuse hit the Grizzlies to 31% shooting from the field, 18 of 59 shooting, 6 of 22 from deep. The defense blocked 15 shots, forced 19 turnovers, and Syracuse capitalized with 23 points off of those miscues. Greg Campy's team will be just fine, though. I look for them to have a great year as the season continues. The top 9 teams in the Associated Press College Football Poll have held on to their spots, led by number 1 Alabama. Northwestern and Boise State moved up in the top 25 for the first time this season. So congrats to the Wildcats and Boise State for those improvements. But again, when it comes to these rankings, none of them really mean anything until the college football playoff reveals its final batch of rankings come early December. But you'll have the latest batch of rankings revealed tonight on ESPN. And again, not a lot of intriguing matchups over the weekend. I mean, number 1 Alabama, number 2 Clemson, number 4 Oklahoma, number 6 Auburn, number 7 Georgia, and number 9 Ohio State. They all rolled to easy wins this past weekend. Number 3 Miami and number 5 Wisconsin took down their opponents by a really comfortable enough margin despite early challenges. And all told, I don't see much movement when it comes to tonight's rankings, but they will be revealed nonetheless. If I had to guess, I would go Isaac, 1 Alabama, 2 Clemson, 3 Miami, 4 Oklahoma, and you have Wisconsin and Auburn sitting just outside the top 4 looking in.
Yeah, I think Miami might actually snag that number 2 spot. We'll see. It'll be interesting. But like you said, doesn't matter. And we've got Clemson versus Miami, of course, in the ACC championship game, as was dictated about 2 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. None of this means anything.
No, it doesn't matter. We should probably roll in. You know, were you a big wrestling fan back in the day? You know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My favorite wrestler of all time. He used to ask these questions during his trash talk rants and then cut you off and say, it doesn't matter what you think. We should just roll in that anytime I talk about rankings, right? We have to cut that up. That's a good idea. All right. The Pistons, folks. The Detroit Pistons. LeBron James, the king. He scored 16 of his 18 points in the first quarter, and the Cavs made 11 three-pointers in the first half on the way to a 116-88 rout of the Pistons on Monday night. I will revisit the Pistons later on this hour. And LeBron, how about LeBron James, who is a noted Ohio State Buckeyes fan? When it's rivalry week, you never know who might be paying attention. LeBron James, he was asked by a slew of reporters about Saturday's showdown versus Michigan prior to this week's game. And this is what LeBron had to say. Quote, "We look forward to the matchup. We look forward to going up to the big house and coming out victorious." And then he wasn't finished, though. He imitated trolling comments in his next breath, saying, quote, "Who do we play? Who does Ohio State play?" And then the reporter says, "Michigan." James said, "Who?" So I love that. I love that. It's rivalry week, and we will embrace rivalry. That is so tough to say. Say that five times fast, Isaac. Rivalry week.
You actually want me to say it five times fast.
Yeah, do it. Go ahead. Try it.
Rivalry, 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 rivalry.
No, rivalry week. That's what ties you up.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Try that now. Say rivalry week five times.
Rivalry week, rivalry week, rivalry week.
See, exactly.
I'm done.
It's impossible to do it. It gets me every single time, man. So, yeah, we'll embrace rivalry. The key is saying it slow. Rivalry week with Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. You don't want to miss that chat. I'm very curious to pick Alan's brain on just how the perception, if it is, changing as it concerns Mr. Jim Harbaugh out in Ann Arbor. All right, folks, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Here we go.
I would say thank you if he would have put him on his plane and took him home. Tell Donald Trump to have a great Thanksgiving, because Big Baller is.
Me and you are having a conversation.
Yes.
Me and Trump ain't having no conversation. I don't have a conversation with somebody on Twitter.
And that's a nice word to call me ungrateful, because I've been called other names, but guess what it does to me?
Nothing.
I have to know what somebody's doing before I say thank you. I'm just not going to go around saying thank you. If I was going to thank somebody, I'd probably thank President Z.
So he's been have a lot of attention since he's been a baby. Ain't nothing new. If I didn't want all this attention with my boys, I wouldn't have made him this good.
It was an impulse thing, a bad decision at the wrong time.
That's the wrong place is the problem.
Well, no, it's not the wrong place. Anywhere is the wrong place. Yes, U.S. is the wrong place. But don't make a big deal of it because it's in China.
Why are we even talking about this with all these political matters going on in the world?
Do you think this is over, or do you expect there to be another tweet?
I don't care. I don't read tweets. I just don't about people tell me about them. I don't sit there and read what somebody writing all the time. I ain't got time for that. I got the Big Baller brand to deal with. I got three sons to deal with.
Oh, LeVar Ball, he always finds a way to make the news, doesn't he? Those are a few snippets of LeVar Ball as he has made headlines concerning the situation with his son, LiAngelo Ball, who is a UCLA men's basketball player who decided, along with two other teammates, to go to China on a team trip, a place where they were supposed to be playing the game of basketball. And they decided to get sticky fingers and steal a pair of Louis Vuitton sunglasses. And that landed them in jail. They were released. And LiAngelo actually thanked President Donald Trump. Trump took to Twitter to basically say, I bet you they don't even thank me for getting them out of jail. Because Trump happened to be on an international trip, of course, and heard about the news. And actually, he went to Twitter again to address LeVar Ball, LiAngelo's pops, who decided to basically say, I'm not thanking the president for that. Nope. Not at all. But it's amazing to me how LeVar Ball has just been able to just stay in the news, stay relevant, just based off his mouthpiece. And I must say, in this situation, though, I mean, LeVar didn't ask for this. I mean, his son going overseas and doing something this idiotic, you knew that the press was just going to eat this up. And the fact that President Donald Trump, the president of the United States, decided to go on Twitter and get involved with this. If there's one part of that whole spiel and bite compilation that I agree with from the mouthpiece of LeVar Ball, is that, man, don't you have other important matters to get to? I mean, come on, you're the president of the United States. Why do you concern yourself with such, quote, small affairs? I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. But nonetheless, people are really enjoying, and this is why LeVar has really blown up, and it's why the brother has his own reality television show with his family. He is just entertaining. He is entertaining, whether you like him or you don't. Whatever side of the fence you fall on, he's entertaining. You tune in to hear what he has to say, no matter how idiotic it may sound. So there you have that. Wanted to start a bit lighthearted. Now moving on to the more important matters, I should say, the MSU football team. Spartan fans, Michigan State season, regular season, will come to a close this Saturday as the Michigan State football team will hit the road to take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Michigan State sits at 8-3, Rutgers 4-7 on the year. Rutgers is trying to end the year on a high note, and Michigan State can reach 10 wins for the sixth time in the last eight seasons if the Spartans can win Saturday and get a victory in their bowl game. And as I stated on yesterday's show, a lot of people are predicting Michigan State to possibly play in the Outback Bowl against the LSU Tigers on New Year's Day. We'll see if that pans out, but that's the way it's looking right now. And if the Spartans win their final two games this year, get this, it will give Coach D'Antonio 100 wins at Michigan State University. Quite remarkable, right? The Spartans in November, they can improve to 28-11 under Coach D in the month of November with a win at Rutgers. Michigan State has won 21 of its last 29 games during the final month of the regular season. And I have flashbacks to when Coach D, you know, he noted how this season was going to be split up. I mean, coming off a 3-9 season, it's about simplifying things and just taking baby steps towards the ultimate goal, which for this team was just getting back to being bowl eligible. And he split it up, you know, when it comes to the non-conference season, the Big Ten season, the November schedule, then, of course, you know, handling business in a possible bowl game. And right now, Michigan State, again, we've been praising this team all season, and we've been absolutely awed by how they've turned around things. But when it's money time, again, they can improve to 28-11 if they beat Rutgers this Saturday. That is very impressive, and I think it speaks to Coach D'Antonio and his ability to get his team to focus come crunch time in the thick of the season. Now, you look at the line against Rutgers. This is going to be bad. And I must say, the line does surprise me, though. The line actually moved from 12 to 13 points on Sunday night in favor of Michigan State. Now, you're talking about Rutgers, which is, take it for what it's worth, 8-3 against the spread this season. They fare pretty well against the spread this season. The Spartans, 3-0 against the Scarlet Knights since the teams have been playing in conference dating back to 2014. But, you know, the fact that it's not at least two touchdowns, 13 points is what Michigan State is favored over Rutgers this weekend. I'm a bit shocked, especially after Rutgers loses 41-0 against Indiana. I really thought that line was going to be bigger than that. So that line surprises me. I do believe that Michigan State will certainly cover without a doubt. And, you know, you look at Chris Ash. Gosh, he was in a bad mood after that loss to Indiana, wasn't he? I don't know if you guys saw the presser. I actually watched it this morning. Chris Ash, head coach of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. He was in a very bad mood, and the reporters decided to ask him about the quarterback situation. Because I believe we may see freshman quarterback Jonathan Lewis get his first start of the year. Junior, and how do you pronounce his brother's last name, Isaac? Is it Gio Regno?
I'm not sure.
I think it's Regno, who is actually from Warren, Michigan. He went to high school in Warren De La Salle. But Gio has been, well, I should say he hasn't been great, but he's been the starter for Rutgers as of late. He was 8 of 14 for just 67 yards this past weekend against Indiana. And in his six starts, he has averaged just 82 passing yards a game. He has not been great. Not been great. So looking at the press conference this week with Chris Ash, he was asked by one of the reporters, how would you describe Gio's play overall? I'm not going to discuss that right now. He actually said that twice. When asked about whether or not Gio would be starting in the final game of the year. I'm not going to discuss that right now, Chris Ash said. So Lewis was actually a freshman QB, Jonathan Lewis. If you're prepping for the future here, and again, Gio's numbers have been bad, Lewis was actually inserted late in the third quarter with the Scarlet Knights down 34-0 in that just rainstorm that they played in. The game was actually delayed due to a lightning delay. And Lewis went 2 for 10, 36 yards. It wasn't great. Bad conditions. He rushed six times for another 36 yards. So the quarterback position is up in the air right now. For the season, Rutgers has played three quarterbacks and has just six passing touchdowns as a team. I think I foresee a change coming. I think Lewis will possibly be the starting quarterback come this weekend. However, Coach D'Antonio, when looking at his transcript from this morning's press conference previewing this matchup of Rutgers, Mark D'Antonio believes that Gio will be the starter, saying that he has earned the right to be the starter. So we'll see what happens. A bit of a quarterback controversy out in Rutgers. Now, you look at what this Rutgers offense does. They're not great through the air because quarterback play has been dismal. So they try to burn you on the ground. Running back Gus Edwards actually leads the Scarlet Knights with 703 rushing yards, six touchdowns. The offense, though, averages just 276 yards total. Defensively, Rutgers allows almost 30 points per game, 27.7, and almost 400 yards a game at 395, losing three of its last four while giving up 135 points in those four contests. Michigan State should absolutely stomp on Rutgers to end the year. And this is an ideal game to go into bowl season with some great momentum. For Michigan State, you know, you come off a win. Now, you talk about conditions. I mean, it was snowy and cold. Not great field conditions as well because that snow was intermixed with rain. Made it really hard to get up and down the field for Michigan State and Maryland. Michigan State doing most of its damage on the ground. LJ Scott having, I believe, the best game that he's played this season. LJ was fantastic. And now, you know, you look at this game, I think the offense is kind of, you know, as I like to say, foaming at the mouth. Foaming at the mouth to get at it and get at this Rutgers defense because this defense is not that great. I foresee Michigan State, Isaac, winning this game by more than that line of 13 points, I must say. I think they could win by at least 3 touchdowns here if they do everything that they're accustomed to doing on offense. If Brian Lewerke goes back to the, you know, when he had those back-to-back 400-plus yard passing games, if L.J. Scott continues his upward trend coming off a great game against Maryland, it's going to be a long day for the Scarlet Knights.
Well, with Rutgers, yeah, it's odd because you talk about some turmoil on that team. This is Rutgers. I mean, they should be used to it. But at the same time, I favor MSU in this game, too. And the spread being 13, Rutgers has lost its last 2 games by a combined score of 70 points. Mm-hmm. 70 points between 2 games. In one, they were shut out, and that was against Indiana, of course. Now they've got the quarterback controversy. There's not too much that I like about this team when you look at their wins on the season. A few of them came in the middle of that schedule where they had a favorable little stretch against Illinois and Purdue, also beat Maryland and beat Morgan State. You know, this is just a team where you know what you get. None of the games against real big opposition besides unless you count Washington, 16-point loss. Mm-hmm. But none have been that close. This should be straightforward with MSU. I'm with you. The conditions will be nice. Let Brian Lewerke air it out. LJ Scott has been dangerous, but let Lewerke air it out. It's the last game of the season. That's what you will have to do if you go to a big bowl game such as the Outback Bowl against LSU. You will need that passing attack. So really use this as a preparation game. Don't sleep on Rutgers, but also understand that it's Rutgers. You do everything right. You run it well. Don't turn the ball over. Don't make stupid plays. And you walk away with this win by at least 20 points.
Yeah, you know, that's what's been impressive. You talk about turnovers. That's what's really been impressive about LJ Scott. I mean, we haven't talked about LJ Scott, knock on wood, coughing up the football in quite some time. And he held a heavy load against Maryland this past Saturday. Bad conditions, slippery weather, and he did a great job of holding and taking care of the football. Now, when it comes to that passing game, again, a lot of these numbers have to directly deal with the fact that it was really, really ugly in East Lansing this past Saturday. Quarterback Brian Lewerke completed just 2 of 14 throws for a season-worst 20 yards. The fewest yards by the Spartans since Bobby McAllister passed for 13, going 2 for 10 in a 19-14 win over Iowa way back in October of 1987. His 2 completions are the fewest in a game by Michigan State since McAllister and Dan Enos combined to go 1 for 9 at Florida State. That was back in 1988. Saturday was just Lewerke's 3rd game this season without a touchdown pass. Again, a lot of that having to do with the poor conditions this past Saturday. If it's a nice day, as you just said, Isaac, I believe that this offense, the play calling by Dave Warner, will allow Brian Lewerke to throw it down the field for some big plays. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you want to comment on Michigan State's final regular season game on the road at Rutgers, you can also join us via Facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at WKAR_sports is the show's official Twitter handle, or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Also want to get your guys' thoughts on the Michigan State men's basketball team, Miles Bridges. I passed along an injury update pertaining to the star sophomore player for Tom Izzo's squad. Miles Bridges, of course, twisted his ankle against Stony Brook on Sunday afternoon. He exited the game, did not return. Good thing is Bridges popped up. He tried to walk it off, and the fact that he was putting any kind of pressure on it meant that it was a sprain, and it's going to take some time to heal, but it's a sprain. It's not anything crazy like, you know, broken or anything like that. So it's good that he popped up, went to the locker room, and during practice, well, I should say after practice yesterday at the Breslin, Izzo said that the swelling has gone down and that he is encouraged, but it is not known whether or not we will see Miles Bridges in action come this Thanksgiving night against DePaul to open up the PK-80 Invitational. And in my opinion, if there are question marks concerning that ankle and if Miles isn't anywhere close to 100%, sit him out. There's a lot of basketball left to play. It is just November here. Sit him out. Take every caution necessary. when dealing with your best player. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk more college football. This time, we'll talk about that team down the road out in Ann Arbor, the Michigan Wolverines, the rivalry matchup, Wolverines and Buckeyes. Oh, boy. We'll chat with Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker and broadcaster, when we come right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. If you want to join the fun, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now on line one, we've got Jason from Lansing to talk MSU men's hoops. Jason, how you doing, my friend?
Doing good, my brother. Doing good.
What's on your mind concerning Tom Izzo's troops?
Well, you know, with Miles coming off the slight sprain that he has from seeing the stuff coaches posted and whatnot, looks like Miles will be anywhere from 90 to 100% when they start the games on this week out there at the PK-80. And, you know, what I'm looking at possibly, how it actually could go for Michigan State. Because with a win in the first game, Michigan State actually could have a pretty easy way through the PK-80.
If they play, I expect them, you know, if all goes as expected, I expect them to play North Carolina in the PK-80 championship.
Yep.
Come that, you know, to end that tournament, you know, come this weekend. And I think that's going to be an interesting test, a good test for Michigan State to finally, you know, get a really nice marquee win for the team.
Right.
And the Miles Bridges situation is very interesting, Jason, because if there is any inclination that Miles is not 100%, I sit him out here. I sit him out at least the first game. Because,
yeah, at least the first game. Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's so early in the season. Miles is the biggest piece to this possible national championship picture here. You don't want to risk anything this early in the season. Sit him
right
out, and other guys got to step up. And, you know, I was looking, you know, at what could possibly happen here. You know,
right,
if they decide to sit out Miles Bridges, they're going to need minutes from other players. And they're going to need other players to really step up. And a player who I was really encouraged after looking at the Stony Brook game was the play from Xavier Tillman.
Yeah,
Xavier Tillman looked really good on Sunday, didn't he?
X-Man looked great, but, you know, the other one that really surprised me going off the way he did was Ward going off for the 22 points.
Right, and, you know, Izzo was not happy with Ward, though, after the game due
right
to his defense.
Yep.
That's something that Izzo was always harping on, right? But,
oh,
you know,
yes.
Ward, though, at times, I mean, when he's really locked in on both ends of the floor, he can really be a nuisance. But and also, who I believe is going to be an X-factor for this team, if he can shoot consistently well, that being Josh Langford.
Yes.
He had a career 19 high
19-point output against Stony Brook.
Exactly. 19-point output for Josh Langford, and he looked so comfortable and really had that mid-range game going. But they got to take care of the basketball as well, and
yes,
that's something that we've seen has been a bit of a hurdle so far this season, Jason.
Well, and the one thing that I have seen in the preseason games and against Stony Brook that Michigan State still is going to be one of the top in the country, mm-hmm, with our length and you know, wingspan and stuff we have across the front there. I do not see a problem with Michigan State out-rebounding everybody this year, as we have done numerous years in the past. You know, mm-hmm, the one thing that I'm really questionable on is if Jackson can stay out of foul trouble.
Right.
That's
the type of growing pains you're going to deal with, Jason. You know, when you talk about a freshman, because we saw, and it's something I noted on yesterday's show, Jaren Jackson fouling out against Stony Brook with 0 points.
Right.
Those are the type of growing pains you're going to have to deal with when talking about it. Yeah.
And that's after I watched him in the preseason game versus Ferris. And if it was a regular season game, Jackson would have tied the freshman record, mm-hmm, and tied the Michigan State record for blocks in a game with 8 blocks.
Right, exactly.
You know, so he has the talent. You know, Would I like to see him stay inside a little more and put a little more weight on? Yes. But I know he's that European-style big man that can step outside and can shoot the three.
Exactly. And there are times that we've seen this season. Now, again, it's early right now, Jason. But there are times when you watch Jaren Jackson out on the basketball court, there are stretches where he is the best player on the hardwood.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And then looking at the final football game of the season here, regular season, I'm with you on it. You know, 13 points, I think that's a little ridiculous with the way State has played all year. I'm with you saying it should at least be 14 to 17 points for the spread on that, because, you know, the way Rutgers has played all year, I don't think Michigan State's going to have a problem with them at all.
Like, I say 20. I say three touchdowns.
You know what? I can agree with you on it, because
it's Rutgers.
If LJ goes off, if Madre goes off, and then if we get our wide receivers, we get White, we get Rising, and our other big wide receiver. I'm drawing a blank.
Felton Davis III. Yeah.
Felton Davis, yeah.
Right.
If those three go off, you know, on both sides of the ball, we go off on the offensive side with the running backs and the wide receivers. Lewerke gets his runs in. And then if our defense gets back to the way they were the last few games, even playing against Northwestern, our defense looked really good, except in overtime.
Right. But, I agree. All right.
You know, so I definitely see the 9-3 season, no doubt about it. I see a decent bowl game for us. And, you know, Coach got us right back on track like he said he was going to do. And, you know, I'm very pleased with where the season's went, and I just can't wait for the basketball season to fully get spun up here. So
great time to be a Spartan, especially this past weekend where MSU Athletics didn't have a team that did not win. How about
exactly.
that? All right, Jason, thanks so
All
much,
right, brother.
Man.
Have a great one. Be easy.
You got it always, brother, always. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media, facebook.com/currentsports, or tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. All right, well, I'll tell you what, a more entertaining game. I think it's going to be a more entertaining game than the Michigan State and Rutgers matchup this weekend is, of course, going to be the big rivalry matchup between the Michigan Wolverines and the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know, I was watching the Detroit Pistons game last night, and at halftime, before I fell asleep on that game, they had a really cool feature centered on one of my favorite broadcasters in the game, that being D-Town Zone, Gus Johnson. And Gus will be calling the action at the Big House come this weekend. And Gus was, you know, he was taking a tour of the Big House, and, you know, he's a big U of M fan, and, you know, he went outside and stood by the Bo Schembechler, you know, statue and whatnot. And, you know, it was really remarkable watching that whole feature. And there's so much history when it comes to this rivalry. Now, the Buckeyes on a 59-48 lead in the all-time rivalry against the Michigan Wolverines after winning 12 of the last 13 meetings, including the last five in a row. But Michigan is 3-1 against the spread over the last four meetings, keeping games close as an underdog. Can the Wolverines cover as home dogs when Ohio State visits the Big House come this Saturday afternoon? The Buckeyes open as a 13-point favorite against the Michigan Wolverines. To talk about this matchup is our dear friend Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. Alan, how you doing?
What's up, Al? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, brother. What's this week like? Because, I mean, you guys out in Ann Arbor dub this as your biggest rivalry. Yes, bigger than us here in Sparty Land. What is this weekend? What is this week like leading up to this game?
It's, to be honest with you, Al, it's very hard. As a student athlete, it's very hard to focus on the academics. I mean, all you think about is the game. I mean, you see all over social media people talking about the game. You see a lot of film from, you know, past games. I mean, it's a very hard week to focus on anything else outside of the game.
You know, you're looking at, when you evaluate how this season has gone for the University of Michigan, of course, the Wolverines are coming off a loss to a Wisconsin team that is knocking on the door of possibly becoming one of the four teams in the college football playoff. And the expectations for this team were not met, according to U of M standards, Allen. Has that taken a bit of the luster off of this game, the appeal off of this game at all?
No, not at all. I mean, throw the records out the door. This game, you know, means the most to both sides, both Ohio State and Michigan. And, you know, it's bragging rights. And I know from me being on the losing side of it 4 years straight when I was playing, it was a very hard 365 days so I played them again. So it doesn't matter if teams were, you know, 10-0, 11-0, or 0-11. I mean, this game is a game, and, you know, everybody is up to par when it comes to this game, studying the film, studying the playbook. I mean, it's really bad when it comes to, you know, focusing on this game.
Allen, what are the emotions of Michigan fans this year? Again, things haven't gone as expected. They're not competing for a Big Ten championship now. You know, you lose to Michigan State, you know, the in-state rivalry earlier this season. You've struggled to have consistent play from your quarterback. I feel like there's chatter about Jim Harbaugh needing to get the job done now and how there are no excuses. The leash is becoming shorter. What are the emotions of Wolverines fans?
I understand how the fans feel. You know, I'm pretty sure, you know, they're anxious, just like we're all anxious, who's a part of a program of winning the Big Ten championship. I mean, if you really think about it, a lot of people had Michigan probably a 3-4 loss team anyway, due to the lack of experience on the team. I mean, I know Coach Harbaugh was starting and playing a lot of young guys, especially on the defensive side. So I do understand where the fans are coming from. But at the same time, I mean, it's a work in progress. You know, Rome wasn't built in one day, and I definitely understand the growing pains that we faced all year. But like I said, throw all that out the window. I'm pretty confident that Coach is going to have these guys ready to play come Saturday.
What is the perception of Jim Harbaugh now out in Ann Arbor?
He's a winner. I mean, he knows how to win. I mean, the facts don't lie. The stats don't lie. He has turned a 5-7 program, which was my junior year, to a 10-win team, you know, for the last 2 years. And he still has a chance to get the 10 wins this year, you know, beating Ohio State and then, you know, winning the bowl game. So, I mean, he's a proven winner. He develops guys. He's a great coach. So I don't think that, you know, the perception has changed too much. Yeah, people might be frustrated he hasn't won against Ohio State. I think he's 1-3 against Michigan State. But then again, you also got to think about it. This is going to be coming up, you know, I think next year when he really has his full, you know, recruits. So fans, you know, be patient. I understand we're all eager for a Big Ten championship, but I mean, the guy's a proven winner.
So when are realistic expectations as far as the timeline goes for this team to be looked at as a legit national championship contender then, Allen?
I definitely think, you know, looking forward, I don't want to look too much into the future, but I definitely think next year. I mean, that's looking at the schedule, I really see the Wolverines being the talk of national contenders.
But I feel like we said that this year, though, right, Allen? I mean, that was a big talk, especially after they beat, you know, Florida 33-17 early September. I mean, when you looked at that defense and the offense seemed to be producing consistently, I mean, I heard the chatter. And I've been hearing this. We've been hearing this since Jim Harbaugh walked on Ann Arbor's campus. He's going to lead us to the promised land like that. And I said to myself, I mean, my goodness, you see the amount of, especially this year, the amount of turnover they had from last season to this season. A lot of really good recruits having to grow up pretty early, though. And I feel like we're saying this every year now. Where, okay, it's Jim Harbaugh's program. He's got good players. This is the year that Michigan does it. And he's come up short. So I'm just curious to know, when is time running out? When is a good timetable to really start judging this team on national championship success?
Right. Well, we're looking at the last couple of years, and I remember, I think it was the year of Jabril Peppers last year as a Wolverine, and, you know, that defense, that team. We all thought that was definitely going to be, you know, a Big Ten championship team, national championship, or at least contending team. I mean, you take a look at, you know, a fluke loss against Iowa, which is very hard to play at Iowa. Then you look at how the Ohio State game played out. Mm-hmm. They were just right there. And coming into this year, we all knew how many players we lost on defense. Understand we did have a returning quarterback that was experienced. But I'm pretty sure what a lot of people figured was, and which I also, you know, read a lot on, you know, news articles on the internet, people did expect Michigan to, you know, kind of have a rebuilding year. Now, that's no excuse. However, I'm looking at, you know, how the quarterback play has been all year, and I really think that Coach Harbaugh has found something with Brandon Peters. I mean, the kid is very poised. He's really calm in the pocket. And, I mean, he's been very impressive to me so far. You know, he came in replacing John O'Korn and even playing in a hostile environment at Wisconsin before he got injured. I think that Coach Harbaugh finally has something that he can really work off of. And I think that, you know, moving forward, he's going to have a pretty good, successful rest of his career.
Jim Harbaugh, he appeared on Inside Michigan Football, the radio show, this week, and noted that Brandon Peters, who took a pretty bad hit this past weekend, he reported that Peters is 50% better. And to quote him directly, Alan, he went on to say, quote, quote, made great strides in the last 24 hours. That's hope, the hope that he returns, of course. It's totally in the doctor's hands. You hope for the best, end quote. So we don't know if Brandon is going to start come this weekend against the Buckeyes, Alan. But if he doesn't, how does that hinder Michigan's chances of possibly pulling off the upset against the Buckeyes this weekend?
Well, when you look at the team, and I think starting on the defensive side, they know that all year they've faced, because the offense has struggled, they have faced with, you know, they can't have mental breakdowns, no room for error. So I think on the defensive side, I think Coach Brown is going to have a great game plan. I mean, they have nothing to lose, you know, out of the Big Ten championship game. So really, you just throw out all the marbles and, you know, throw all the shots out. So I think that the defense is really going to step, you know, their game. But I mean, it's the Ohio State game. You know, this is typically when you play your best game. And I think that Coach Harbaugh understands that being part of the rivalry, both as a coach and as a player, that, you know, there's going to be a little room for error. Every inch is going to count. Every penalty is going to count. I mean, he's going to definitely understand the aspect and how impactful every aspect of the game could be. So I think that even if Peters is not playing, he's really going to have O'Korn ready for this game. I mean, this is the game. You know, this is not anything where you can, you know, cakewalk through or take lightly. I mean, this is the Ohio State game, the rivalry, bragging rights on the line. So I really think that Coach Harbaugh is going to have his guys ready to play come Saturday.
During your time as a player in this rivalry, Alan, what's your favorite memory? And what's that like, being in the trenches, going against a team in Ohio State, you know, in which you really hate? You guys hate the Scarlet and Gray. What's your favorite memory when looking back at your playing time in this game?
You know, honestly, my favorite memory is, I believe it was my sophomore year and the big brawl that happened on the field. That was my favorite memory, just because, you know, that's basically what this rivalry is about. You know, two teams that can't stand each other, basically going to war on the field. And what many people don't know, it actually started back in the locker room, because, you know, obviously in Michigan State, we only got one tunnel, and the locker rooms are right across from each other. Mm-hmm. And I just remember Braxton Miller and a couple other guys coming up the tunnel, and, you know, a lot of chirping was going on. So it started in the locker room way prior to the game even started. So that was one of my favorite memories, being a part of the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry.
Well, without violating our FCC situation here on the airwaves, Alan, what was said in the locker room that led to that moment?
You know, I really can't remember. That's something I'll probably have to look on YouTube. I mean, it's just, you know, being in the heat of the moment,
right.
You know, playing a football game, it's a rivalry, you know, guys just talking and chirping. So overall, I mean, it was a fun experience. And obviously, you know, we did let them lose in the game, I think, at the last second. But, I mean, overall, this is, you know, the game. In my opinion, I think it's the best rivalry in all sports. So, I mean, how can you not get ready, you know, for this game?
Yeah, and that melee took place. That was back in December of 2013. And final question for you, Alan. Why do you guys look at Ohio State as the biggest rivalry and not us here in East Lansing? I'm just curious to get this perspective from a former player.
Oh, well, for me, being from Ohio, You know, there's been a lot of times where, you know, even back when Coach Trussell was coaching, guys coming from Ohio, guys coming from Michigan, going there or vice versa. And, I mean, just the history with Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes, that, you know, there's really not that big of an impact, I guess I should say, when it comes to the Michigan State and the Michigan rivalry, just because of how the coaches, you know, back in the day, you know, how they established that rivalry. I mean, you look at Bo Schembechler again, you look at Woody Hayes. So that's kind of why, you know, we look at that. And for me personally, why I look at that as, you know, one, you know, the biggest rivalry, you know, the border rival as well, just because of, you know, the history and the tradition for both teams.
Oh, the disrespect, Alan. No, I'm joking, my man. I'm joking, dude. Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker and broadcaster. Alan, thanks so much for joining us here on the airwaves. I'm looking forward to checking out that game this weekend.
Thanks for having me, Al.
All right. Well, we have exactly 3 minutes left here now, Isaac. Does that irk you when you hear that? When you hear what Alan had to say concerning, you know, U of M looking at Ohio State as the game when, you know, Michigan State right here in your backyard has been giving you the blues, especially in recently here, I should say, has been giving you the blues. Does that annoy you?
Whenever it's one of these love triangles, or I guess hate triangles, it's always going to get complicated, I'm sure. That Michigan got a little bit jealous once MSU was taking the cake away from them, because then you realize, oh, we had something special here, and I only just realized it, and now all the winning is gone. You know, it's kind of one of those classic situations. But no, I think it just ebbs and flows. It depends on which game is what week two, because any time in the past 5 years when it came to MSU versus Michigan,
yeah,
there was some serious dialogue about which rivalry was bigger, and I think that'll continue in the near future.
You know, I agree with you, and I'm looking at some comments here. This comes from Ben Grimes. He says, Al, quit dreaming that Michigan will beat Ohio State. It's not going to happen. Michigan is going to get stomped on. Ben, I didn't say that Michigan's going to beat Ohio State. Michigan's going to lose to
Ohio
State.
Maybe he's talking about the other Al. Alan.
Maybe. Well, he said you and Alan are making us laugh with this Michigan beating Ohio State talk. So, no, he's talking.
Direct shots at you, yeah.
Ben, I'm not predicting that. Come on, dude. I'm not predicting that Michigan is going to beat Ohio State. Ohio State is far superior this year when it comes to the Wolverines. Especially when you look at the quarterback situation for Michigan. Brandon Peters hurt. John O'Korn was horrible before he got, you know, put on the bench. So, yeah, Ohio State wins this one, and I think they win it easily. All right, folks, we are out of time. But on tomorrow's Current Sports, we bring the heat in our final live Current Sports show before we say goodbye to you all for the Thanksgiving holiday. So don't miss it. Going to be a hot one. We will welcome to the show Michael Lynn the III, former quarterback for Lansing Catholic. We'll talk about his decision to transfer. Be easy, people.